Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. John summarized Christmas for us in verse 14 of the first chapter of his Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We pray that your celebration of Christmas will be full of Jesus, so that others may be filled with Jesus. Please open your Bible to chapter 1 of the Gospel of John and listen as Pastor Ben Hiwale concludes his discussion of verses 1 through 14.
How can a sinful person know a perfect spirit? Because you remember, God said to Moses, if you actually see me, you're going to die. But what I want you to know is that God wants to know you and me. So how does a perfect God take a sinful person to heaven? Well, to accomplish that, God brought heaven to us. Since we cannot get to heaven on our own, he brought heaven to you and to me. So when you listen to others and their religious leaders tell you, this is what they do. They tell you what God is like. Jesus, on the other hand, does not tell you. He shows you what God is like. Ever since Jesus came to this world, everything changed for mankind. Jesus was not just God in man. He was not just God and man. He was the only God-man. This is why we don't celebrate Christmas as a cultural holiday, but a holy day. So not only you behold the glory of God, secondly, you witness the glory of God. Now, if you were a disciple of Christ, not only would you have beheld his glory, you would have been a witness of his glory. Look at what John says in verse 14. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. He meant that physically, that we saw the glory of God. That word seen is a very unique word in the Greek language. It does not mean to look at as if it seems, but in Greek it means to stare in amazement. John was a disciple, and he spent 3 years with Jesus, and he was an eyewitness, and he's saying, I saw the glory of God in what he did. I heard the glory of God in what he said. I saw the glory of God in his works. And if you can't see the wonder in Christmas that Jesus is God, then you won't see any need to worship him as God. If you lose the wonder, you lose the worship. The reason why everyone does not worship Jesus is because they don't recognize Jesus. Getting back to John and what he saw for 3 years. He saw a man that got thirsty. Then he saw the same man, God-man, walk on water. He saw a man that got hungry and ate bread, and then he saw God feed 5,000 men and women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He saw a man that died on the cross, but also saw God resurrect himself from the grave. Everywhere Jesus went, God was there with him. The glory of God was flying with him. And so either Jesus was God or man is the question that many people will ask you, because that seems more logical. Well, tell me that he's either God or he's a man. Anything else seems to be incomprehensible. You can say dogmatically that Jesus was God or he was man, but not both. If that is where you're at this morning, then the only way you can be right is if you knew everything there is to know about God and everything there is to know about man, to make the statement about what God can do or cannot do. No one knows everything about either one of them. Some of you have been married 20, 30, 40, or 60 years, and you still don't know everything about the woman you married. If you can understand everything about God, then he wouldn't be much of a God, would he? We serve a God who's great, who's magnificent and who's awesome. There are many things impossible to us, but there is nothing impossible for God. God, without stopping being God, became a man. The glory that God the Father had, the same glory the Son had. This is why John refers to the glory of the one and only, calls it out as unique Son. In the Greek, it means one-of-a-kind Son. Out of the billions of people that have lived on planet Earth, Jesus was one and only of a kind. He was not one in a million. He was not one in a billion or a trillion. He's the only one. Socrates and Plato and some of these guys, for all the years that they taught and influenced the world, Jesus in his 3 years blows away any impact that any other man had on society. Jesus never painted any pictures that we know of. But some of the finest paintings of Leonardo and Michael are about Christ. In Jesus, we behold the glory of God. In Jesus, we witness, when you have that relationship, the glory of God. And thirdly, in Jesus, we welcome the grace of God. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road in verse 14. He came from the Father full of grace and full of truth. There's one thing that we all need to have. If you want to be forgiven for your sins, have a relationship with God. If you want to understand the purpose of your existence, there's one thing you need to have. There's one thing you need, and only God can give it to you. And that, saints, is grace. Grace is like the oil in the engine. Without that oil, the friction will destroy that engine. Grace is the oil in the body of Christ. We sang in that Christmas carol, God and sinner reconciled. Right? God and sinner reconciled. Grace is free, but not cheap. God is just. He has rules. You do the crime, you pay the time. Sins have to be paid for. A just God has to hold someone responsible and accountable for all the sins and evil that is committed. And so watch what God does. In order to give us what we don't deserve, which is grace, he shows us what we do not deserve, mercy, so our sin can be punished, and that is justice. Grace is what we crave most when your and my guilt is exposed. You're busted, and there are no loopholes left, nothing that you can just kind of explain away. There's no one to blame, and there is no excuse. You're looking for someone who will then extend grace to you when you find yourself in that situation. Interestingly, grace is something we are hesitant to extend when confronted with the guilt of others, when they have hurt you, when they have hurt someone you love. See, grace on the receiving end, when I want it, it's beautiful. It's refreshing. But when it is required of me, well, that's challenging. It's painful at times. It could be very disturbing. But this impacts everything in your life and my life, from relationships to your work, in your offices, to just about everything. Many people see grace as the undeserved and unmerited and unearned favor of God. Someone is leaning in your direction even though they should actually lean away. See, you can no more deserve grace than you planning your own surprise party. The fact that you planned it voids the surprise. The moment you think you deserve grace, you have actually voided grace. You can ask for it, you can beg, you can plead, but you never deserve it. We cannot recognize or receive grace, saints, and this is so important. We cannot recognize or receive grace until you're convinced that you don't deserve it. And secondly, grace, this is so important, can only be experienced in the context of a relationship. That's the only place you will ever experience grace. It is purely relational. It can only be experienced inside a relationship where there is an imbalance, right? Where there is an imbalance in that relationship and you find yourself on the negative side. This is why Christianity is so unique. This is why Christianity is so attractive. Since grace is 100% relational, and you cannot experience grace without being in a relationship, God actually had to show up. This is why we celebrate Christmas. See, we would have never known the grace of God without the presence of God. For God's grace to be seen and to be known, there had to be a personal, and it had to be personal. That is the message of Christmas. Grace becomes amazing when it is extended to others relationally. Extending grace is not easy. It is very difficult to extend grace to some people. People that have hurt you. People that have taken advantage of you. People possibly, in your opinion, don't deserve it. No angel, priest, no preacher, no human, no godly man can really pull this whole thing off. Only the God-man. If Jesus was only, let's say for a moment, only a sweet thing, a loving man, but not God, then even if his life was noble, it was not necessary. Even though his death was tragic, it wasn't triumphant. It does not matter if he was just a man that died on the cross, what good did he do? He could not save us. So Christmas, for everyone, everywhere, is about the God-man who was born in a manger, died on the cross, came back from the grave, and he's coming back again. Saints, listen to this. Before Jesus came to this earth, in the Old Covenant, your sacrifice could only make you sin conscious. That's all it did. In the new covenant, the Father makes you son conscious. So beautiful. Jesus came as the Son of God to the sons of men so that sons of men can become the sons of God and, of course, daughters of God. But see, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And this is where we find ourselves wanting. Because you and I, we balance grace and truth, right? We're constantly balancing grace and truth. But Jesus was full-on grace in full-on truth. Now, some of you are truth people, right? If you're honest with yourself, some of you are just truth people. And then some of you are grace people. This is why two people get married, so we can have a little bit of grace and a little bit of truth so that your kids won't be crazy. So we can maybe have a balance, right? And maybe this partially explains the reason why possibly some of you are crazy. Some of you may have been raised going to grace churches. Some of you maybe have been raised going to truth churches. And it has impacted you. But you see, Jesus never watered down the truth and turned down the grace. He called sin, sin, and sinners, sinners, and then he laid down his life for the sinner. The best way to celebrate the holy day is to surrender, if you don't know the Lord, your life to him. He did not have to do it. No one paid him. He just did it because of his grace. Norman Geisler, an apologist, made this statement. It's beautiful. He says, "So I cast my lot with him, not the one who claimed wisdom, Confucius, or the one that claimed enlightenment, Buddha, or the one who claimed to be a prophet, Muhammad, but with the one who claimed to be God in human flesh, the one who declared, "Before man was, I am," and proved it. Do you know why God can extend grace to you in spite of you? Do you know why God is able to give you what you don't deserve? Do you know why God decided to send his son into the world to pay for your and my sins, be reconciled through grace? Because he could see exactly who each one of you are. He knows. This morning you may be sitting over here. He knows about your upbringing. He knows about your dad, about your mom, your stepdad, or your stepmom. He knows the environment that you were forced into or are in currently, or the one that you cannot seem to get out of. He knows what you experienced. He knows what you have done and what it has done and what was done to you. He understands your health challenges. He knows how your success has blindsided you in places, or your failures have set you back, or your insecurities have handicapped you. He takes all of that into consideration and still chooses to extend grace to you. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and this is so vivid, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Paul is writing this in Romans, right? And he's really, if you think about this, the way he's writing this statement, he's thinking about himself when he's writing this. He says, but God put on a demonstration. He didn't just simply just say it. He didn't send a letter. No. He put on a demonstration of his love. Paul says, while I, on the northern side of Jerusalem, was sinning. The verb tense is so important and intentional. He says, while I was sinning, Jesus was dying for the sin I was committing. This was not at all futuristic to him because Jesus was nailed to the cross for your sin and for my sin once for all. And that is what grace does. And I pray, saints, that you don't hear that part of that message and say, well, I'm going to try to be better. Okay, I'm going to try to, like, I find myself in this imbalance and I'm going to try to get out to zero, level out. I'm going to try to be a nicer person. I'm going to try to fix a few things. You cannot be anything but reconciled to God. That's what needs to happen. Receive the grace that is extended from the cross to you because sin gets in the way of grace. But once there, okay, once there, this is how you know. Once there, the more that you and I, and this is so true for me, the more you are, the more aware you are of what God has yet to do in me or you, the more time you spend it in the Word, the more time you spend in prayer, in surrender, the less aware I am. Or you are, should be, the less bothered you will be, the less put off you will be of what God has yet to do in others. So this morning, what are you going to do about Jesus? Because you can't be neutral about him. If you've never trusted in Christ, I want to give you this opportunity to do so today. The two gifts that are awaiting you is that you'll receive forgiveness if you repent and surrender and eternal life. Confessing that I'm a sinner and need your grace and mercy. I don't want your justice, so I repent and I surrender all that I am to all that you are. At Christmas, grace came to us to dwell with us in spite of us. This Christmas, you have an opportunity to do in spite of. Saints, God is more brokenhearted because of our sin than put off or offended by it. Jesus did not take sides. He came alongside. And so if you're a believer here this morning, every time you walk out of this church, your homes, your workplaces, you're being sent to a world that needs to know that God loved them so much that he sent his only son. He became one of us, with us, and one for us. Who's that one person on your heart that needs, maybe this morning, for you to reach out to during this Christmas season and just share the gospel with them? Maybe you start with a text to get together over coffee or breakfast and just make an investment so that you can share that gospel with them. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And here's a couple questions that I'm asking myself. When I am shaken out, right, what is going to come out? But when we are pushed against the wall, and it seems like, as believers, we're living in times that are like this, what's going to come out? What are we full of? And secondly, when the world around us hears Koinonia Fellowship, what are we full of as a church? People that go here, people that teach here, people that play here, participate here, and go out from here. What are we full of? I think the one thing that gets in the way of us beholding his glory is the brokenness that's present. To behold his glory, you have to really comprehend the grace that God has put in the midst of that. Like I said, it is refreshing when you and I want grace. We know we need it. It's very challenging and painful when it has to be extended to someone. In your mind, they don't deserve it. Someone who's taken advantage of you. But that's standing in the way of you being able to behold his glory. To experience everything that God wants us to experience from what he gave to us to behold. It's very possible that's why there's dryness in your life spiritually. And I pray that just like God went so low that he came and became flesh so that you and I could experience, witness, caress, behold, see that glory. He wants you to do the same thing. Extend that grace. Take down that wall. Allow God to fill you with everything that his glory has for you. And saints, that's where we meet Christmas truly in our lives. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Koinonia Fellowship. As we prepare to celebrate and shop for our loved ones, let's not forget the greatest gift of all, the free gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We also thank God for the East Rochester Fire Department and the other village churches and businesses who come together to participate in the annual Christmas outreach, bringing joy into the lives of needy families. Please pray that the Lord would be glorified during this season and many would come to know our precious Savior.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.